You know, sometimes we find these are things that work well and things that don't. But I want to talk this morning about a resolution that we can make without New Year. It's a bit loud, Nick. The New Year can happen. Resolutions can happen without New Year having to be the case. And what? Sorry, that's a little bit odd. I might use another mic. That'd be better? Sound okay? Is it a bit odd? Okay, yeah, good, good. Depending on the version and translation of the Bible you've got, there's a verse I want to have let us have a look at this morning. It's in It's in 1 Corinthians 1. Rather, First Corinthians 2. And in your version of the Bible, I'll get you to turn to it with your Bibles. If you've not got a Bible and you use your phone app, have a look at that as well. I'd like us this year to be more connected with what we're seeing here rather than just having it necessarily up on screen. But it says here in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 2, "For I resolved," or "I determined, not to know anything amongst you except Christ and him crucified." So the word resolve there, a word determined, is the word I want to have a look at this morning. And as I was thinking about New Year's resolutions and the benefit, or otherwise they might be, this resolution is something here that each of us can make. Each of us can make one with another, something that I believe God is saying to us this morning. A little bit of background before we get into the passage I want to read in more depth. This was a letter written to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians, Corinth was a pretty carnal place at the time. A centre of commerce, there was a lot going on and many people were coming and going. The church had been established there. It had been established and a lot of the business-minded folk had come into the church, which was both a good and a bad thing. The church had taken its, its course in response to what might be working in terms of productivity, what might be working in terms of finances. Not always a bad thing, but not always a good thing. Any form of sexual immorality was going on in the church, and because of the challenges that were happening there, Paul had done his first missionary journey and came back again and needed to address the issues that were happening at Corinth. And we find ourselves in the middle of this, that he got to the point and he said, "I've had all sorts of conversations with all sorts of people about all sorts of things." But the summary of what he was coming to is he said, "But actually, I need to know nothing amongst you except Christ and him crucified." Let's pray. Father God, as we turn to your word this morning, may you speak to us. May we understand what that means and what it is that we're to have between one another and with one another in your church, in your kingdom this year. Thank you, Lord. So in order to sort of give you some context, I'd like to read from chapter 1, verse 20. Just follow along in your Bibles or your phone apps if you've got it here. And this is 1 Corinthians 1, reading from verse 20. "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brothers, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put shame to the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame to the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world are the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who came for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." And following in chapter 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing, anything amongst you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And in my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Amen. So as I was preparing for this today, I found that it didn't nicely sort of fall into 3 points, which I normally try and do. So it's either 2 parts of 2 points, or it's 2 points. So you either might feel a bit shortchanged this morning or have more than you sort of bargained for. But what I want to look at this morning is what this verse says to us initially and what it actually might mean. And the first part it says in verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything amongst you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." The key verse today, 1 Corinthians 2:2. And in that verse, the first thing it says, if you look in the original language, is it uses this word resolved, but the first word in the whole sentence is not. It doesn't always read quite as easily or as clearly as we might because of differences in language and syntax, etc. But it's very clearly, so Paul wants to get it out there straight. Not. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to know anything except Christ and him crucified amongst you. I've come as the apostle. He was called to come as the apostle. But I've come and I've come again. This time maybe as a teacher. This time as maybe someone who needs to bring some discipline. But I'm not going to know anything. So the 2 points I want to make, or the 2 aspects of 2 points, is one is how not to know. And secondly, how to know. And the second part, I want to have a look at what it means to know Christ and him crucified amongst one another, flesh and faith. So the first thing is, how do we not do this? When we first started here at Beckenham, it would be 11 or so years ago, I think 12 years ago, we were new pastors, and we were told one of the first things to do, and this is true, this is right, is you need to get to know people, find out about them, find out what's going on for them. And that was well and good. And I would say that was good advice by and large. The advice we didn't get is to mainly find out spiritually where your folk are. Mainly find out where folk are going, what their journey has been, what their testimony has been, their past church background, etc., etc., etc. And when I think about it, eventually whatever it is we do in our businesses, and in our trade as it were, or in our vocations, we eventually need to get down to the nitty gritty of what it is that we're there to do. What it is that we're there to relate on. A friend of mine sells mowers. It's more than that. He does big deals, so it's not just a mower salesman, but that's essentially what he does. And if it was just seeing himself as someone who sold mowers, that's ultimately what he does, and he has to sell mowers. But eventually, of course, there's the relational context of what's going on. But he realised after a while, as he went round the South Island selling these mowers, very quickly had to get down to tin tacks with the dealers of what's wrong with their mowers, the ones that they bought off him that need to be repaired, and what's to be done to get a better mowing job. Now, you can relate this probably to any particular vocation or profession that we may have all been involved in, or any degree of teaching or training that we're about to do. But the need for us who are involved in Christian ministry, and I'm not using the word leadership, us involved in Christian ministry, and that's pretty well everyone here today, there is a need to first or to make the choice to know Christ and him crucified amongst one another. Now, I've spoken a few weeks ago about various literary devices that are used in the Bible, and they're used in modern language. And one of them is the word onomatopoeia. Now, you may have heard that word before or learned that. What does that mean, onomatopoeia? Anybody remember from a few weeks ago? Luke. That's right, a word that sounds like what's happening. So the word tinkle or crash or smash, the word sounds like what it actually means. And I guess we're often, in New Zealand particularly, fairly Anglo-centric, and we would think that would apply to English mainly, and it does. But you may remember that prior to Christmas and our Advent lead-up, we were looking at some of the words in the original language, particularly in the Greek, around Christmas. And one of the passages that we had a look at, we were looking at the particular hymn, or became a carol, "Joy to the world, for the Lord has come, let earth receive her king." And we were talking about who was that king? What did that king look like? And in the passage where, you may remember, where Lazarus was raised from the dead, Martha said to Jesus, when Jesus said, "What do you want me to do?" And he said 3 things. Kuros, Christos, Theos. In other words, he said, she said, you are Lord of the moment, you are Lord of my life, and you are Lord of all. Now, we don't see that in the English because it was Lord Christ and God. But Kuros, Christos, Theos talks about a progression there in another language. So in the same way we see those words get used, so the writer is trying to express something in using the words. And the key word today we want to look at is the word resolved. And it's the word krino, which isn't necessarily where the word keen comes from, but it talks about a real desire to get to the heart of things. And the word krino is to make a judgment call. We often say in the church that the good is the enemy of the best. It's very, very true. We can be doing some very good things together. We can be having some very good discussions after morning tea. We can be doing some great things even, or what may be very good things during the coming week and during the coming year. But even if it's good or even if it's great, is it the best thing? Because the good is the enemy of the best. And we might say, I meant to have a conversation with my mentee. If some of us here, there's a lot of mentor-mentee relationships in the church, and sometimes after service is a good time to have a quick chat about how it's going in terms of their spiritual life and their spiritual walk and development. But we got busy talking about what was going on for you in the holidays. There's nothing wrong with these things. Please hear me. These are good things, but they're not necessarily the best things. And we might read this and say, well, that's okay for Paul, because if we read the start of 1 Corinthians, we see Paul says, I'm called to be an apostle. And that's what Paul called himself when he initially started off in writing the epistles. But as time went on, we might say, I'm not an apostle, so I'm not called to only know Christ and him crucified one with another. That's only for the apostles and the leaders. And maybe that was the case for Paul at that stage. But as he began to grow and develop as a missionary and as an apostle and as an early church leader, he began to see himself in very different terms. And it's very interesting noting the way that Paul referred to himself, that by the time the last epistle was written, he called himself the least of all the saints. Well, Apostle Paul called himself, it wasn't even calling himself Apostle Paul, declared it at the start, realized at the end, the least of all the saints. Now, I'm going to use the term me and I today. And I'm probably going to use this through there. And what I mean is each one of us. It's like the royal I or the royal me. I don't mean me, but if I say you, it sort of sounds like I'm talking about, this applies to all of us here today. So the question I want to ask and consider is that somewhere between apostle and the least of all the saints is where each one of us sits. Who knows where we might sit in that continuum. But in other words, this does apply to us, that we are all to consider how it is that we might know Christ and him crucified. Because the word krino means to make a judgment call. It was a legal term. So it's a sense of sometimes weighing up, is this the best judgment of the time that I would spend with this person in discussing this particular thing? Good as it may be, or is it time that we really need to get focused? Now, I don't know what you think about the time of the march of history, particularly biblically, but time is obviously shorter than it was a year ago. We don't exactly know what the timing might be. But in terms of the time that we have available, there is time to be used wisely and to be used well. And as I've said before, the knot is making a decision, and Paul had come to that after seeing what was going on in the church. And please hear me, I'm not saying Beckham's in that state at all. But the church was at the state where he needed to very clearly say, I am not going to that be started with that word. And then the second part of that is saying what he would do. He would make a decision. I'll talk shortly about what Christ and him crucified actually is. But he would actually and actively decide to do that. Now, how does that actually outwork? Maybe here's a small example. I met with a friend last night and we were talking about a number of things. Now, my friend is probably a younger version of myself in his late 20s. I had no money, no wife. I had no good thing when I was in my late 20s. I just was really bad with money, and I don't know where it went. And not until I met Sandra did I understand how money worked, really, to be honest. And so I was absolutely terrible. And I just see in this guy a reflection of myself. Keen as mustard to do all these things, but nowhere with all to do it. And so I was talking with him last night, and he said, so he came up home and he said, well, how did you get very, very blunt, very straight up, you know, how did you get a wife and how did you get a house? That were the two things that he was thinking about. And I said, well, I won't say that one begat the other. I said, but certainly there was a sense when I got to the point of saying things are a little bit out of, well, not out of control, but they're not really working the way that I thought they would. And my personal testimony that I was able to share with him is that I got to a point where I said, this isn't working, Lord. My rushing around trying to get all these other things first is not working. Your word says clearly, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. I need to take you, Lord, at your word. And I remember writing on a piece of paper, I went to church, I just come back from overseas, came to church, and I came back to New Zealand, wrote down, Lord, please have control of my money, my finances, my future, my wife, my family, all those sorts of things. And I kid you not, within a few days that had happened. And the number of times I hear testimonies, sometimes people do it faithfully, I did it out of desperation, to be honest, but got to the point where I thought, this is not working. This is not the best way to be living the Christian life. And the reason I mention that is that sometimes God needs to get us to a point where we realize that all these other things, while they're good and they're very interesting, is not the core of what it is that he wants us to have together. Because when I met people quite soon in the church that I went to, we would talk and connect on all sorts of things. I was into old cars, I still am, so we talk about that. We fall driving and tramping and all of those things. And sadly, for many, we never got onto that conversation. So tell me, how long have you been coming here? What brought you here? What's going on for you? If I can be so bold to ask, etc. Tell me when you first knew the Lord as Lord and Saviour. And it's amazing how many of those conversations that we can have, one with another here today, might lead the person that you're talking to say, well, you know, I'm still sussing it all out. I haven't come to that point. Wouldn't it be the most amazing testimony this time next week? You say, well, I had that conversation and led someone to the Lord. Fantastic. But this happens when we know Christ and him crucified and we resolve to do that one amongst another. That's when this happens. But not when we decide that we will continue talking about these other things. I remember a youth pastor friend of mine who was very big on tramping the St. James, and we would hear about the St. James every year, or the Abel Tasman. And it worked out after a while that I didn't realise at the time, but his main desire to be youth leading was to get time off to go and tramp. Now, my friend is now no longer a believer, very sadly. Wife and family in various sort of stages, but he's still tramping. And I remember thinking, man, what sort of conversations could have I've had and didn't have? Now, you know, it's never too late for this stuff. We might look as part of the resolving. Part of the New Year's resolution, if you've made those. But the resolving at this time is to say, this is what I am to do. This is what we are to do, one with another. And is the royal I that I'm using again. How it is that we might know Christ and him crucified. The word krino. The second part of what I want to say, I want to finish on this today, is looking at what it is to know Christ and him crucified. How do we do that? What does that mean? And it comes down to two words, both beginning with F. One is flesh and the other one is faith. Now, if we have a look in, turn with your Bibles with me into Galatians 2:20, and the verse says here, Galatians 2:20, it said to understand what it is. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh at the moment, I live by faith in the Son of God in the future, or from now on, who loved me and gave himself for me. So here we have juxtaposed flesh and faith. So the conversation that we might have with someone, we're thinking, are we having amongst ourselves, are we discussing amongst ourselves Christ and him crucified? Well, is the conversation essentially about fleshly things, or is it about faith things? I said before about the onomatopoeia and understanding what these things were. The word flesh, which has all sorts of connotations, pretty always negatively, but the word flesh here also means the body, is the word sarx, which is not a very pleasant sounding word. We get sarcophagus from it, a place where bodies lie or bodies go or part of the body. But the word faith is the word pistis, which is actually in here. It's patheo. It's a more gentle sounding word or intriguing word. And I think the reason these words are here is we don't want to have this sarx or this flesh amongst us. We want to have this intrigue, the patheo, the faith that we would have. So is that conversation regarding, brother, sister, how are you going in your faith this week? Has it been that our lives have been living according to what God is saying? That's a pretty hard thing. A lot of us don't know each other that well. There's been a number of new folk that have joined us, praise God, for a number of reasons. And we might think, well, yeah, I don't know where that person's at, etc. There's no way I can open a conversation with just saying, how's your walk with the Lord going? But you know, at some stage we need to get there. And it would encourage that maybe if this hasn't been a habit for you to be part of a smaller group or an accountability group, that you think and pray this year about being regular as part of a prayer group or a small group or possibly both. So there's regular opportunity to keep those accounts short. Thank you, Sarah, for that word. And I remember years ago that my learning about keeping the account short with God about repentance was that you did that at the Sunday evening, Baptist churches, first Sunday in the morning, third Sunday in the evening. So you did it in the Sunday evening service once a month. Now, I don't know where I learned that from, and anyone else who's grown up here Baptist, you didn't learn that necessarily, but I did. And so I sort of thought, oh, I get my count short, get it all right on the third Sunday evening of the month, and then, well, not sin happily, but if I did, didn't sort of think that it actually needed to be done sooner than that. The Bible says, don't forsake the habit of meeting together. And I would say that weekly is bare minimum. I really have seen that. If I was to be honest and say it as pastor here, it's the bare minimum. And would encourage something in the week. Small group, men's group, accountability group. So the iron sharpens iron is where the person says, you know, hey, how's it going? And you have to say, not so well, this happened. I lost my rag with someone. And it's only been a couple of days old. Imagine if that drifts out and it's 2-3 weeks old. And then we start justifying. We say, I think that was okay. Someone might have interpreted that as a fleshly thing, but actually I think that actually strengthened my faith. I think that developed me as a person. So actually we start to justify our sin. And we move very much into that place where it's not Christ in him crucified, because Paul said in that verse, I have crucified the flesh. It is something that I have put on the cross and said, it is not important, because the flesh, our physical body, our needs, our desires are always going to rise to the surface and say, ah, give me some attention. Give me something to fill up my senses. That's what the flesh does. And even if these are not fleshly things in terms of sin, these might be other things that result or are physical things that we eventually find that we want to. And we can spend any number of hours discussing, and I've done this in the past, and I think the time is coming to a close for me of doing this, discussing old cars in endless detail, rather than just saying, well, maybe I should go and buy it because the thing has become a little bit of a god, a little bit of an idol. Not that it's anything to be, it's fantastic at all, but the time and energy that goes into that. So how we know Christ and him crucified amongst each other is to consider, is my conversation primarily about the flesh or is it about faith? And to finish on a positive note, thinking about a faith conversation, I love it when someone comes to me and says, Tony, I'm thinking about a step of faith that might look like this. Now, it won't be put in those words, but it might be, I'm wondering about such and such. They're the conversations I love to have. And please hear me. It's not suddenly that I've realized or all of us are going to become suddenly we've got nothing else to talk about but faith issues. But primarily, this was the thing that Paul resolved to know. So in closing today, could I encourage you, if this is something that is worth resolving, or the word krino, or being determined, and I could read a number of translations and the word determined and the word resolve keeps coming up, that if that's something that was needed at a time of the Corinthians, it's ever so much more needed at our time today. That we're able to want the best and believe the best one for another. And I bet if we were honest, it wouldn't take too long to collate quite a large book of all the things they wish we had said to brothers and sisters who are no longer walking with the Lord. Man, I'd have a big book. We're involved in a very large youth group. We saw all these kids come through and we thought, oh, yeah, no, we've got something really special going on here. All these guys are going to hang around. So we'll get to that stuff later. You know, we'll get to the good stuff. We'll get to it later. And we never got to it. We did the tramps and the camps and the car rallies and the hot dog runs and the burger runs and just everything, one after another, one after another. They were good things, don't get me wrong, but they weren't the best. They weren't the things that we needed to know once amongst the other. So I'm going to suggest at the start of 22 that we have a short time of, well, not a short time of prayer, but a medium length time of prayer, shall I say, that we're actually able to lay those things down and hand them over to the Lord. Because I know some of us are carrying a burden, even for past ones, or, sorry, loved ones that have passed away, that we're thinking, I wish I had known Christ and them crucified. Even if they weren't believers, I wish I'd asked them. It's a new year. It's a time to step into these things. And many, I believe, absolutely fundamentally and with all my heart have been called here to get involved in ministry in a way that you have never thought was going to happen. Those words that were spoken over you, this is the year. I'm not saying this absolutely for everyone, but there are a number I know that are here where this is the year where they're going to step into that. So I think before we do that, it's time to pray and lay those things down, and then we'll just close with a song. So let's pray. Father God, in order for us to know you and you crucified amongst, we just lay down those fleshly conversations we've had. They might have been good, but they are the enemy of the best. And Father, we just don't want any more to be thinking about, oh, all the might have beens, all the could have beens. Because Lord, I'm praying this prayer as much as anyone here today, thinking that one day those conversations will happen with a believer. Not necessarily a witnessing conversation, but with a believer and wanting to be that iron that sharpens iron, and then realise that time was actually quite short and quite precious. So Father, help us in redeeming the time and considering, as the Apostle Paul said, and somewhere in that range between the Apostle and the least of all the saints is where we find ourselves, each one, in understanding that we can just encourage with a little word in knowing Christ and you crucified, Lord Jesus, amongst each one. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for those that have laid down New Year's resolutions before you, and these are good things, either things that are, maybe for some of us, it's the best thing that we need to do. And we pray for that. We pray that those resolutions would work out. But much more, Lord, we resolve to not know anything amongst each other except you and you crucified. Show us, Lord, how that looks. Walk with us, Lord. Teach us how that looks. Not in any sort of heavy way, but in a clarity, in a way that we might not have seen before. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word to us and for what it means to us today. Amen.
Amen. If anybody would like